You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The next piece that we talk about does have a content warning, as it is about violence against women and children in Aotearoa. I interview Dr. Debbie Hager from the School of Population and Health at the University of Auckland, who is talking to me on behalf of the Coalition for the Safety of Women and Children in New Zealand. And we speak about how last week women's groups in Aotearoa reported to a UN watchdog that they were frustrated and disappointed that not enough meaningful change and progress had been made in terms of this issue that is a big thing here. For Aucklanders, if you do feel like you need to reach out and get help, you can contact SHINE on 0508 744 633. I'll put that number at the end of the piece as well, and also when I podcast it later this afternoon. But I began by asking Dr. Hager how last week the women's groups reported that we had failed in our efforts to date, and I asked what exactly those efforts had been.
From a government point of view, there have been a number of iterations of government strategies to address violence. So that started quite a while ago with the Te Rito strategy, which was meant to be a whole of government strategy to address the different issues surrounding domestic violence. More recently, under the national government, was the multi-agency team, which was several government ministries working together. And then about 2 years ago, under Labor, the joint venture business unit was formed, which was meant to be a whole of government response to sexual and domestic violence. So we've had these different iterations. And Jan Logie has been very successful in getting quite a substantial amount of money for this latest iteration. But what nobody is prepared to address is the underlying reasons for violence in this country.
What would you say those underlying reasons are? Like, what is it about our culture that creates this hostile environment for women and children in our homes?
So I think the first thing is that we're not addressing gender as an issue, and we're not acknowledging that this is primarily men's violence against women and children, and also men's violence against men. So of course there are women who use power and control behaviours towards others, bullying behaviours. There are families where people are frightened of women, but that's relatively unusual. Most violence is men's violence against women.
What reasons would they have to not address this? Because the statistics are there, it's plain to see. Why isn't this part of our approach?
One of the reasons is that it has to be across every sector of government. So if you're going to address gender inequity, you can't just address it as a violence problem. You have to address it as an income, education, employment, health, tax. It's across everywhere. And so you actually have to be prepared to face up to the fact that even though we're a less inequitable country than some, there's still a great deal of inequity, particularly around expected gender roles, and particularly around those gender roles in perhaps non-white cultures. And what I mean is that we're not addressing, for example, necessarily forced and underage marriage. We're not addressing some of the issues of immigration and migration and what the laws around those things impose on women who are perhaps reliant on a man who's holding their visa. And we also have to address colonisation. So there's been a national strategy in development for most the whole term of the joint venture, and that strategy has never come out into public to be discussed. And we thought that that was probably because there was discussion about whether gender was an issue or not, but it seems more likely that there's a lack of willingness to accept that colonisation is an underlying cause of violence in Māori communities, and that colonisation needs to be addressed alongside all the other issues. But if you're not addressing racism and colonisation and inequity, you're not addressing underlying causes of violence.
The Family Violence Act was passed in 2018. Has that made any meaningful change?
It's certainly given the police more powers, particularly around strangulation, and it's helped to explain financial abuse more. The problems are that unless the attitudes of the people who are in the justice system, who are in the courts, in the police, who are enforcing that legislation, unless their training and attitudes change, then the way that the legislation is used doesn't change.
Let's talk a bit about the courts, because one thing that was discussed was how the family court is quite outdated. How is it outdated?
What we see in the courts is that they prioritise men's right to co-parenting over the safety of women and children. And there seems to be a real lack of understanding of domestic violence, of intimate partner violence, the dynamics of it, the way it creates fear and traps women and children, the way it's not one dramatic act generally, unless a woman is really badly harmed or murdered, but it's a whole series of behaviours that frighten women and control them and constrain them. The Family Violence Death Review called it a crime of liberty because it so constrains women and their ability to function in the world. And so unless you understand violence in that context and in that way, then courts are not understanding the severity of the situations that they're seeing. And there's also a belief that a man who is an abuser can still be a good parent. And so women are forced into years and years and years of court cases for custody and for other things, and having to interact with men who are abusing them and perhaps abusing physically and sexually abusing the children, or just the children seeing their mother being abused through this custody process because the court has dictated that they have to do that. And then if they object to that, if women try and move away from the violence, if they don't want to take their children to see their abusive partners, then the courts punish them.
So how do we amend this? What about the courts need to change? Is it something that starts from the top, or where do you see solving this issue starting?
The government says that nobody can enforce training on judges. So we need to look at how the system works. We perhaps need to look at who judges are, the training that they have. That training would need to start for lawyers, because judges are lawyers. All of the people in the justice system need to have to understand things from the same point of view. Until we come to a shared understanding of what violence is, until we as a country acknowledge that violence is gendered, that colonisation and racism play a big part in violence against women and children, until we come to understand the underlying sexism in the attitudes around violence and address those, then change isn't going to happen except individually.
So let's talk about access to resources, because one thing that was mentioned in this report to the UN was that it's quite underfunded, this issue. And what can be done to address all of these differences? You've mentioned colonisation and the effects of that. What about women who are in rural areas of New Zealand, where there's perhaps not as many options just in terms of places where they can go to escape these abusive homes, and also centres, because in Auckland, I would imagine there's a lot more opportunity for women to seek help as opposed to women who are quite isolated in rural areas of the country?
Certainly. So over the 9 years of the last national government, an already underfunded sector lost huge amounts of money, including losing, I don't know how many services, but a lot of sexual and domestic violence services just vanished during that time. So not only was money taken out of the sector, but services were taken out of the sector. So we have, as you say, many areas that are not covered by services at all. While Jan Logie has done an amazing job of increasing the amount of money for the sector, it hasn't yet caught up. So we haven't even got enough money for mainstream services. We have virtually no kaupapa Māori services. We have very few Pacific services. We have very few services for migrant refugee women. We have no services for disabled women anywhere in the country.
How important is it that there are different services for different cultures? Because do you think this is something that can be, I guess, one solution fits all?
Well, I think that women need to have options of places to go where they feel safe, and they need to have places to go where people understand who they are and the particular circumstances. So Māori have a way of working, a kaupapa Māori way of working, that women aren't going to be able to access in a mainstream service. Disabled women need services that are accessible and that understand the forms of abuse that disabled women experience, and the same for migrant women. So we don't have anywhere in particular for women, for example, who have substance abuse problems or women who have mental health problems. There's a vast array of specialisations that we're not even getting to because the mainstream services are under.
So let's talk about the future. The past government hasn't done enough, and you've said that under National, under the 9 years of National, there was so much funding and resources that were lost. So what do you expect from the next government, whoever it is?
We would like to see Jan Logie or whoever is given the position of responsibility for sexual and domestic violence in Cabinet so that they're discussing budgets and able to make decisions and able to influence at a Cabinet level. I think that would be really critical. She's done an amazing job from outside Cabinet. One of the problems we see in the joint venture is there's a lack of expertise, I believe, and that we need to increase the expertise within the joint venture so that they understand the complexity of the issues that they're working with. We need a Minister of Justice who understands the complexities of the issue. We've found a lot of barriers with current Minister of Justice. And so we need people who are prepared to say yes to the sector when the sector describe what their needs are, rather than putting barriers in place because it's complex. You know, the government has to be prepared to address the complexity. There is no one answer. The new Conservative billboard that says domestic violence, no thanks. If it was that simple, we'd all have solved. Successive government have refused to address the complexity, so I would like to see a government that was prepared to open itself up to the complexity and actually work across all the different ministries. We just encourage people to think about the social justice issues inherent in this when they're discussing it and not blame the women and the children who are trapped in these circumstances, but to examine how we as a whole society can solve this.
Democritus is rolling in his grave. Election 2020. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.